Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today, we have debut author Katie Tallow. In this interview, we chat about what it's like to write a page-turning thriller, her writing process, and of course, around the book recommendations. Now, let's go to the interview. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a mother of a 27-year-old daughter who's a grade 3 teacher, and I've been with my husband for 30 years, and I'm a freelance writer-director, mostly working in documentaries and video projects, and I also live in the nation's capital of Canada, Ottawa, and I started writing novels about 8 years ago.
Oh, this is awesome. So sort of about your documentary, screenwriter, director, like what got you into that role?
Well, it's always something that I was interested in. I mean, I loved movies. And so I, studied film, and that was film theory. And then I studied TV broadcasting, and that's where we got our hands on cameras and started editing. And I just loved that form of storytelling. I knew that's what I wanted to do. It was a little bit later in my late 20s that I started that, but I really enjoyed it and just got really fortunate with getting funding for certain projects and working with great partners. And so I've been able to make a career of it.
Oh, I love it. And how does your experience help you when it comes to writing your books?
That's a good question. In a couple of ways, I think. I for one thing, I'm seeing the novel as a movie right from the get-go. It's just how my brain works. I'm playing it out as scenes. And I'm always, if I'm talking about my novel, I'm talking about it in terms of acts, three acts, and scenes, not chapters. You know, like I know they're chapters, but I see them as scenes. It's funny because in screenplays, you're told when you're writing a screenplay to show what your characters are feeling, not to have them tell it, not to say I'm sad, but what are their actions? What are their, you know, show their motivations and their emotions. Don't tell it, in other words. And so this trains you to give your characters a lot of depth in visual ways. So I think that kind of helps with novel writing. And then again, in documentary work, I spend a lot of time transcribing interviews. So I hear the way people speak and describe their lives. And it's great research for writing natural dialogue, listening to characters, different types of people and their thought patterns and speech patterns and dialects and accents and things. And it really helps writing novel dialogue. And so I think that also has really informed my novel writing.
That's really awesome. I think I can see your book. Like the way I envision your book, and it was a page turning book, and it was one of the things I felt like it was just watching a movie. Like I felt like I was immersed and just for like 3 hours of my time, just like going and trying to figure out what was the next step. What was the next step? So I love that you use your experience, you know, within film to translate into a novel, because it does translate like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I'm glad that's what it is for you.
So what inspired you to become a writer?
Well, you know, I've always loved storytelling and make-believe. I was always that kid who was, you know, telling stories in my head with my Barbies or with my friends or making my friends play act. And, you know, I was just always that kid. And I became a writer for a living because I wanted to be a filmmaker. And the two kind of go hand in hand. And you kind of become a writer if you want to make films. You know, it works well. But the idea of taking on a novel had always sort of picked at me for years. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like a great way to dive into a story way more deeply. It's a longer format. You can explore the settings, the characters, much more fully than you can in a screenplay. And so I think what inspired me to finally do it was that I came to a time in my life and a place where I had more patience, maybe more calm, and just privilege probably to be able to sit down and have the time to write a longer story and really dig in. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that answers your question. I don't know what really inspires me to write, but I know that it's a creative outlet, and sometimes stories, they kind of haunt me. So I have to get them down.
Yeah. So how do you deal with, like, when you have a story that haunts you and you want to get it down, like, how do you keep track of those ideas?
I have a lot of different ways. I journal, and my journals end up being kind of story notes in the margins often. Yeah. Because I'm trying to journal about myself, but then I end up writing, oh, that would be what would motivate her as a character, and that might be a good turning point in this, or, you know, so it's a lot of note taking. I take a lot of walks where I ponder through different things, that sort of thing, you know, but I get my inspiration from all over the place. Yeah,
I love it. So what was your journey to get your first book published?
Well, it's a fairly long journey. Actually, a couple of decades ago, I was writing screenplays, as I said, and I was writing some that became films and some that didn't. And one of the ones that didn't was called Gracie's Kiss. Mm-hmm. And it was a story about this strange woman who had a fondness for roadkill and making them into her little taxidermied friends. And this character, this weird sort of sweet outsider from this little town of Elgin, Ontario, stayed with me. She was just kind of hanging around in the shadows as I went on to other projects and continued making films. And then in late 2009, I decided to stop talking about writing a novel and actually write one. And I'd been reading Stephen King's book on writing, called On Writing, mm-hmm. and decided to adopt his approach. And he suggests sticking characters in a situation and just see what happens. And it seemed like a really free way to do it, just to try writing a novel. And I had this idea, there's a car crash in the middle of nowhere, a man's trapped in the driver's seat, a woman's trapped in the trunk, go. And so that was my novel. And I wrote this novel, and I entered it into a novel contest for unpublished women writers. And I won that contest. It was an international novel writing contest called Ms. Lexia. And in 2013, I won that. And it's a UK contest. And it ended up getting me this fantastic New York agent that I have now, David Halpern. And the manuscript is the reason I have him, and signed with him. And even though it never got published, I really got hooked on writing novels. And so this Gracie character from Gracie's Kiss, the screenplay that never got made into a film, kept coming back to me. And she was kind of my way into Dark August. Mm-hmm. And I reimagined elements of that original screenplay, introduced a whole new lead character, Augusta. Mm-hmm. And Gracie's still in there. Elgin is still in there. But in writing it, it became the novel it is. And eventually found a publisher at Harper Perennial.
I love it. Yeah, I really love Dark August. Like, it was like so. It was just like, I don't know. I read thrillers, and then I get burned by reading thrillers, and this was a breath of fresh air. First of all, it was set in Canada. It actually had a police procedural, but it was not a typical police procedural. It had a young character who was just trying to, you know, be her own PI. You know, trying
exactly.
To-
yeah.
And then, you know, and had all these constraints about being in an abusive relationship and just like not, you know, having the death of her parents and all these different things, all these different elements that just made the story like fresh and made it easier to read. And it was a page turning because whenever you thought something was happening, something else happened and something else happened. Like, what is going on? You know, I felt for Augusta, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the whole thing. You know, I think with a great story, you have to want to know what's going to happen, and you have to really be rooting for this character, you know, and of course her lovely dog too, you know?
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was so heartbreaking.
Well, you know, he's based on my dog who unfortunately is gone now. But he was at my feet as I wrote that book. So he's there in spirit. Yeah.
Let's talk about writing. So do you have an outline, or do you see where the story leads you?
You know, a little bit of both. I follow an outline for sure, mm-hmm. and then I see where it leads me. Okay. You know, I write in a very structured way, but I want to be flexible within that structure and have an open mm-hmm. mind if something pops up organically. I don't want to feel restricted. So it's a little bit of freedom inside a form, because I like to see where the lines are and see where I'm headed, but I'm okay with coloring outside the lines too.
Yeah, so do you know what the ending looks like, or is that something that was a surprise about it?
I sort of had an inkling as to where I wanted it to go. Okay. But, you know, it's kind of, despite all the planning, you know, the ending yeah. changes quite a bit and the story yeah. evolves. So I guess the thing is, I write a lot of drafts. And so as I get deeper into each draft, I start to see patterns and themes that I didn't necessarily realize were there. And then things start to obsess you and you enhance those things and realize what you were really talking about. And then sometimes that leads you into a more sort of fully realized conclusion about your characters. And so then their fates kind of hang in the balance for a while, and some live and some die. And then, you know, that kind of changed as I wrote. But I just always try to ensure that the outcome feels true to the story, and the ending is maybe has surprises, but more importantly is satisfying.
I love it. Yeah, the ending was satisfying. It was a good ending. It was shocking at the same time. I was like, then I saw the Easter eggs throughout the story, and I was like, oh, it makes sense. Yeah. You know, the ending, yeah. There was like the clues were there. It's just like you were still shocked by it. So it had like a little balance of both.
Yeah.
So do you share your work along the way, or do you wait till it's completed for others to read?
I talk about it vaguely because sometimes it's so in my head. I talk with my family about it, but I don't talk a lot about it or give away too much because I want them to have fresh eyes. My daughter, especially, she's my first reader. She's kind of who I write for because she loves mysteries, and I just want her to love the book. And so she's kind of my number one reader. And but I never show it an incomplete, like it would have to be a draft I'm pretty happy with to show it, because my first drafts are absolutely terrible, and I know they are as I'm going, but I'm just getting it out. And then I do at least 20 rewrites before I dare show anybody, you know. And then I get notes from a guy. I usually start with Steve Paralini. He's a guy called the Novel Doctor. Okay. And he's a great editor. I found him online, and we have this relationship now. He's edited both my novels and the unpublished one and this one. And so, you know, he really is my first kind of reader. Then I have friends and my agent, of course, and his team, and I get notes and do more drafts, and then we get it to the point where it's ready to show a publisher.
I love it. And so what it was like to write a page-turning mystery thriller?
It's so funny, you know, because I don't, you know, I wouldn't say I'm an expert in the genre by any means. And you say things like Easter eggs, and I'm kind of like, I think I know what that is.
Easter eggs are a little bit.
Yes. No, it makes sense to me. But yeah. I don't know. You know, as much as it's fun, I do love writing. But sometimes as I dove into writing a mystery, I realized it's a lot like math, which I do not like. Oh. But it was just whole days sometimes spent, you know, analyzing something and working something out, and a single plot point that I'm twisting it and turning it and trying to, you know, make sure it gives somebody goosebumps or it's going to be the right thing, or, you know, and I kind of can freak myself out a bit sometimes. And if I'm really into the story, I'm quite scared at times. I can sort of be looking around the house going, won't my husband get home soon? Because I'm really scared right now. You know? So it's kind of scary writing a scary story, but you know, I do love it. And I've always had that dark side, you know, so I like to delve into that stuff.
Were you a mystery thriller reader before writing, or was it something that just came upon?
Yeah, I mean, I read all kinds of genres, you know. I wouldn't say thriller genre is my, you know, necessarily the one that I gravitate towards necessarily, yeah. But just a good story, you know.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dark August. Tell us a little bit about the story.
This is the spoiler-free version?
Spoiler-free. We want just a little teaser of what it is about, and then just basically...
Yeah. Well, Augusta Monet is the lead character, and she's 20, and she's a little bit lost in life, orphaned at 8, and sort of living this aimless existence. And then she gets this call that her great-grandmother has died, and she's inherited this house and this old dog. So she ditches her loser boyfriend and heads to her hometown where she used to live, and she finds that she's just got this rundown old house, but she finds a mystery in the basement in an old trunk, and it's documents and photos that belong to her mother, who was a police detective. And before her mother died, she was obsessed with this missing persons case and these documents. And So Gus recreates her mother's evidence wall from memory because she remembers seeing it, and kind of guided by her mother's voice, she finds this new purpose and she picks up where her mother left off, and she just gets really obsessed with this case and she starts interviewing people, and she's hoping that it kind of brings her closure. But as she digs deeper, she stirs up some long forgotten, you know, stuff that people want left buried. And there are secret tunnels, and there's an explosion, and there's a gun, and there's taxidermy surprises and everything. And there's also the amazingly sweet dog at the heart of the novel. And, you know, he goes along for the ride with Gus, and he's, as I said, based on my lovely Levi.
Oh yeah, I love this book. I think for me, I read it in one sitting, and I was scared at the end because it was like, it was dark alone, and people were screaming because it was like this 8 o'clock, you know, happy healthcare workers, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's someone to my house. What's going on? I felt for Augusta. Like, she was doing this by herself. Like, she was, like, saving, like, you know, crazy stuff by herself. And
she puts herself in situations, right? She does go into dark basements, and she does go out into the middle of nowhere, you know, so.
Yeah, and all the twists and turns are so good. So I really love this book. I think it's like, it's a fresh new thriller. So for those people who have gotten burned by reading thrillers, this is actually really fresh. And it's like, it has a satisfying ending, but you won't see it coming. But at the same time, it'll make sense if you look back to the clues.
Thank you.
Awesome. So we'll dive into a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for our audience for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
Like I said, I don't really stick to one genre, but I am reading a lot of mysteries right now and, you know, detective stories. I just love a great story, you know, and I would recommend like the Silo series. I don't know if you know it, by Hugh Howey. Mm-hmm. Wool is the first one. Dust is the second one, and Shift is the third one. I think that's the order. They're science fiction, you know, but they're really great stories with great characters that you really care about. And I would recommend that series for sure.
Oh, this is awesome. So who's your favorite author?
You know, I've always loved Margaret Atwood. Ever since I studied her in university, and I'm a huge fan of The Handmaid's Tale, both the book and the series. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of James Lee Burke, the Southern American writer, and his stories are so powerful. His imagery is so powerful. I've always loved Southern American writers too, even Carson McCullers, you know, older ones. So that's kind of my faves, I think.
I love it. What are your top three favorite books of all time?
I love The Holding. By Kingston, Ontario writer Marilyn Simons. It's a really haunting story of these two women who live on the same piece of land or holding at different eras. And so they share the same garden, but their lives are completely in different times. And one finds the other's diary, I think, as I remember. And it's really beautiful. And I also love The Stone Diaries by Canadian author Carol Shields. Mm-hmm. That is just the most beautiful story about a woman's entire life from birth to death. Mm. And it's just so poetic the way it's written. It took my breath away. Sometimes I would have to reread an entire paragraph because it was absolutely, the language was so beautiful. Mm. And then the third would be The Road by Cormac McCarthy. I love his writing. It's like nothing I've ever read. It's so raw, the energy of it. And I just love him.
What has been one book you read this past year or last year that you loved?
I'm reading right now Harry Bingham's police crime series.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to do my homework. Sure. and he's got a crime series featuring Detective Fiona Griffiths. So the first one's called Talking to the Dead.
Okay.
And there's, I think I'm on book five now, House of the Dead. And she's a really unique character with this disorder, and she's a police officer, and she's like kind of stupid brave, like Gus is in a way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, takes risks, is kind of gutsy and determined. And I really like that in a character. So I'm enjoying that.
I love it. I love your recommendations. So you can find you online.
I have a website, katietallow.com. I'm also on Instagram as Katie Tallow, and I have author pages on Goodreads and Facebook. I think my Facebook is like Katie Tallow Author. And I just am new on Twitter, like a week ago, at Tallow Katie.
I'll follow you on Twitter. This is awesome. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, Laura. And, you know, I'm so glad you enjoyed the novel, and I hope other people do too. And stay safe.
Yeah.
And take care of yourself.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends, then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.